Okay. 1 Kings chapter 21, here's an example of fasting under false pretenses. Okay? So King Ahab went home angry and sullen because Naboth refused to sell him his vineyard. It was right next door to the king's castle. And there was this vineyard and he wanted it. He said, "Hey Naboth, give me that vineyard. I'm the king." And the guy said, "No, it's my family's inheritance. I won't give it to you." So Ahab went home angry and sullen because of Naboth's answer. The king went to bed with his face to the wall and he refused to eat. He's pouting. The king is pouting. "What's the matter?" his wife Jezebel asked him. "Boo. Did you know in church you're allowed to holler out boo when people say Jezebel?" Serious. You are expected to. Jezebel, nothing good. Nothing good. She lived bad, she died hard. The only thing that was left of her was like her head and her hands. She got thrown from a wall and they didn't even pick up her body and they went inside for dinner and they came out and dogs had eaten her. And God said, "That's what's going to happen to you." And then it did happen. Jezebel. Boo. Jezebel turns to Ahab and she said, "What's the matter with you? Why are you so upset that you're not eating? It's like you're fasting." She didn't say it's like you're fasting. She said, "Why are you eating nothing? I asked Naboth to sell me his vineyard and trade it, but he refused," Ahab told her. "Are you the king of Israel or not?" says Jezebel. "Get up and eat something. Don't worry about it. I'll get you Naboth's vineyard." She wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent them to the elders and other leaders of the town where Naboth lived. And in her letters, she commanded this: "Call the citizens together for fasting and prayer, and give Naboth a place of honor. And then seat two scoundrels across from him who will accuse him of cursing God and the king, and then take him out and stone him to death." Jezebel. She's a so-and-so. She said, "We're going to have a church service and we're going to set them up and we're going to kill him." She found fasting and prayer useful under false pretenses. So don't always fall for it. Okay, Esther, drawing near to God, seeking favor. Do you know the story of Esther? The beauty pageant, she's the queen, she becomes the queen. And then at the same time, evil Haman, also a guy that you can say boo to. When during Purim in Jewish worship services, when they say Haman, the kids do boo. Because he's the guy who tried to kill all of the Jews in one day, like Hitler in our modern era, Haman in the time of Babylon. So Haman, yes, thank you. I was so hoping I could start something here. Jezebel, boo. Haman, boo. Rabble, rousing. Here's what Esther said. Now, Haman wants to kill all of the Jews. Esther is Jewish, but nobody knows. And she's become queen. And so the king actually has many wives, but Esther is his queen. And you can't go in to just speak to the king, right? Because it's the most powerful nation, empire in the world. So the guy has like a fleet between him and you. And so if anybody steps out there, they die before someone can assassinate the king. Did you ever see some of those movies? Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Hero, the Sword of Destiny. All of them, they have these incredible distance between possible assassins and the king, who must be kept alive. So even the queen, if she steps into the king's presence without being summoned, will die unless he lifts his scepter and says, "Allow her to approach." But when anybody just shows up, the king's like, "Hang on a second, what is that? Is this the day I die?" So it's a very touchy thing. Well, here's what's going on. Haman's going to kill the Jews, and Mordecai, her cousin, tells her, and he says, "You have to go to the king. You have to tell him it might be for such a time as this that God put you in this place to make a difference. That must be why you're queen." Here's what Esther says. "Go and gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. And then I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So she knew she was about to maybe go to her death and was going to do it because it was maybe the last chance to save Israel. And she had people fasting and praying for her because I'm going to go in there and I might die. Good news, the king lifted his scepter. Esther delivered the entire nation of Israel. She was there for just that reason. And then aren't we happy? Because then the Jewish people continued, and then Jesus, the descendant of the Jews, is our Messiah today. Fasting, drawing near to God, seeking favor. So there's two other big instances of fasting in the Bible. People going out without food for 40 days. Do you know them right away? I'll just point them out in passing. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, he got up, he ate a little bit of food, and then he traveled for 40 days, not eating on the way to go to the mountain of God. That's good. Do you like the story of Elijah? I love the story of Elijah. It's one of those, like, you know, fire comes down from heaven sort of a He doesn't do things in half measures. You know, wax the Jordan River and it parts, and the water in the Jordan River piles up in a heap because it's like backed up, but the river's still running, and then it just builds up. I love that story, right? So Elijah, he eats a little food. He starts his fasting. You know, it's like Fat Tuesday. He's having pancakes, right? And then he goes, and for 40 days he doesn't eat. Fasting in the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 19. Then Moses, in Exodus chapter 34, on Mount Sinai, receiving the commandments, he doesn't eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights. People can't not drink for 40 days. As far as I know, you die. So, but the Bible says he did not. The Bible tradition says that perhaps Moses wrote the stuff we read in at the end of the Torah in Exodus. So maybe that's an eyewitness account. Whatever you take about how scripture was collected. Two real big instances, though. Elijah and Moses, both people with the 40 days, no eating and drinking, right? Both people are associated with meeting with God in the context of the fast, right? And then both people are associated with significant miraculous works of God, but all of them before the fasting, not as a result of the fasting. Moses, when he's fasting, is receiving the commandments from God. He's already been part of the 10 plagues. He didn't fast to get, you know, Holy Ghost powers so he could then do the miracles. But during a time of meeting with God, it involved turning away from food. In Elijah's life, in Moses' life, and now here in Jesus' life, we're seeing that he's fasting. And you know what comes next, right? He meets the devil who tempts him in the desert. We're not going to preach on that this morning.